Do we have any other prayer requests? Can I have a couple people help me with the communion? Don't buy the lie. Don't buy the lie. There's people that are telling you that you must get the COVID vaccine in order to return to normal. This has been one of the biggest assaults on Americans' freedom since I don't know when. And it's shocking the amount of people that have bought into it. The amount of church people that have bought into it. You have a 99.5% chance of surviving the coronavirus. Did you notice the flu disappeared? We'd have hundreds of thousands of cases of flu every year. Now we had zero. They're lying to the people. God doesn't lie. Paul said that the only reason that Christians are sickly and die early among you is because of the COVID. Because of the flu. Because of pneumonia. Because they don't discern the body of Christ. So we know that if there's one thing, there's an anti to it. You know, he said if you're sickly and die early because you don't discern the body of Christ, then we should be able to discern that if we do discern the body of Christ, we can expect to have health and healing in our bodies. Amen? This is God's medicine. I'm shocked at how fast Christians have dropped this. Church people have dropped this. Notice I discern the difference between churchgoers and Christians. Not everybody that goes to church are born again. Amen? Not everybody that goes to church are Christians. They'll help you understand some of the confusion in the church world. So we're going to discern the body of Christ. We're going to do it on purpose. This bread is made without yeast. Yeast is significant of sin in the Bible. When we look at his body, we can certainly see that Jesus had no sin in him and still has no sin in him. And you, by the way, have been washed by the blood of Jesus. Amen? You've been removed from sin. This bread also has been beaten flat. He was beaten and bruised for us. He took a terrible beating for us. Sometimes people have some internal hurts that they can't deal with. This is how you deal with them. He was bruised deep for your healing. You can have Jesus heal those internal wounds that you can't seem to get rid of. Amen? Also, this bread has stripes in it, and it's by his stripes that we were healed. And this bread has been pierced. Everywhere that Jesus shed his blood, we get redemption in some area. And his body was broken for us. So we're taking this. We know that you took all our sins, all the fiery judgment of God upon you. We're taking your broken body into us for our healing. How many of you have been told to examine yourselves before you take communion? and ask God to forgive you of your sins before you do it. How many of you understand that that's a futile practice? Because you've already been forgiven, and it's because of His blood, His shed blood that washed away your sins. He remitted them, and God will never remember them again. Ever. And His blood has made us the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So we can boldly enter the throne room of God and receive mercy and grace in a time of need. We thank you for this. If you haven't noticed, the law will break a man, but grace will give a man a break. All right, let's open up our Bibles to Romans chapter 10, verse 17. And this is something we use for ourselves. We know that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Let's look at that. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. But you got to understand that it's not just for us. Romans chapter 10, 17 says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I mean, hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing. That's how we get revelation. You know, God told His people basically to meditate on His word. I can't prove it in scripture, but I read a thing one time, talked about the tassels on these Jewish hats, and they had scriptures written on them. It said, keep my word before your eyes. Don't let them depart. You know, so they had the scriptures in front of them all the time, meditating on the word. Meditating on the word. I mean, hearing it over and over and over again. And then pretty soon you get a revelation. I read a crazy statistic one time. I don't know how they came up with this. But somebody said it takes a person on average 7 times of hearing the gospel before they get born again. I don't know how they came up with that number, you know. But it makes sense. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I don't know how many times I heard somebody mention Jesus before I got born again. I don't know, but somebody finally told it to me enough times where finally it got in there and I believed it. Amen? We're going to be talking about sowing seeds. Sowing seeds of faith. Sometimes we'll witness to somebody and they'll just say flat out, I don't want nothing to do with none of that Jesus freak stuff. Leave me alone. Stay away from me. You're crazy. So then we just walk away and we go find somebody else. But don't give up. Don't give up on that guy. Sow the word to him again at some point, if they may open the door to receive some of it. Sow it again. Sow it again. You don't know when you're going to hit a home run. Amen. Look at Matthew chapter 9. It's easy for people to get discouraged. It's easy for people to fall into condemnation. What I'm saying is, you'll witness to somebody, they'll reject it. You'll be witnessing one day and then you'll make a mistake the next day and everybody will be judging you and saying, oh man, you're just a hypocrite. Don't be discouraged. You made a mistake. The blood of Jesus took care of it. Go on. Go on. If you quit, the devil won. The devil won. Yeah, you just don't know what I did. I'm going to tell you something about Paul. Today, we would call him a terrorist. When he was Saul, we would call him a terrorist. Christian persecution was his profession. He had a license to beat up Christians. That would be called a terrorist. But the blood of Jesus changed him from Saul to Paul. And he didn't just all of a sudden wake up and say, oh, we got it all together. You watch him grow through the epistles. You watch him grow where he called himself the worst sinner ever. To the end of his life, he said, I've done no man any harm. When I read that, I thought, he just lied. Because he was persecuting Christians. But I didn't understand what he understood. The blood of Jesus washed it away. You never, ever, ever, ever hear God talk about that man's sins in the Bible. You hear Paul talk about them, but you don't ever hear God mentioning them. And he doesn't mention yours. He washed them away. Matthew chapter 9, we'll start at verse 1. It said, he entered into a ship and passed over. I don't want to start there. Let's start at 18. When he spoke these things unto them, behold, there came a certain ruler and worshipped him, saying, my daughter is even now dead, but come and lay thy hand on her, and she shall live. And Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. And behold, a woman which was diseased with the issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. But Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith has made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. We got a lot of things going on there. That's a busy little bit of scripture there. It shows Jesus meeting people where they're at in their faith. You know, this guy right here in verse 18, the ruler, a certain ruler, worshipped him saying, my daughter's now dead, but come lay your hands on her. That's where his faith was. He decided that if Jesus would come and lay his hands on her, she'd be all right. Jesus said, okay. The woman with the issue of blood said, if I can just get down there and touch the hem of his garment, I'll be all right. And Jesus said, you got it. But did you see this? He didn't just call her a woman. He said, daughter. He said, daughter. You know, he didn't go walking around calling all the Jews sons, daughters. She had the faith of Abraham. That's what he considered a daughter and son. When they had the faith of Abraham, she believed. She believed in his mercy and grace, and she received what she needed. But you know what? Did she just wake up one day and decide, I'm going to go touch him in his garment? Did this ruler just say, I see this guy walking down the road, I'm going to have him come lay hands on my daughter? No, They heard something somewhere about this guy laying hands on people and them getting healed. They heard about touching him and getting healed. They heard something. They heard it. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You know why your testimony is so important? Not your war story, your testimony. Your testimony. Because somebody might hear it and say, man, I know that guy. He's kind of a rap. He got healed. Now he'll do it for him, he'll do it for me. Amen? If he'll bless him, he'll bless me. When Jesus came unto the ruler's house. Now, listen, this is in the same sense. They're walking down the road. She touched the hem of his garment. That's a notable miracle. She was healed. So you think all the people around him would just say, man, we got it. This guy's daughter is going to be healed. Everything's going to be good. We're here. And look what happened. When Jesus came into the ruler's house, he saw the minstrel and the people making a noise. He said unto them, give place, for the maid is not dead but sleeps. And they laughed him to scorn. I don't care how much good somebody does. Somebody sees you do something wrong. That's what their testimony of you is going to be. Don't let it bother you. That's the devil speaking. You know, he uses Christians to talk to. He uses churchgoers a lot. Don't let that stop you. Jesus went through it too. He just went through this deal. The woman with the issue of blood. Notable miracle. Within just a few steps, they laughed him to scorn for his words of faith. Don't let it stop you. Go to Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14, verse 35. When the men of that place had knowledge of him. How do you get knowledge? By hearing about it. When the men of that place had knowledge of him, they sent out into all that country round about and brought unto him all that were diseased and besought him that they might only touch the hem of his garment, and as many as touched were made perfectly whole. Now, where did they come up with an idea like that? They heard about it. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. They heard how that woman with the issue of blood, they evidently must have heard about that. Amen? So you think everything's really good now. But go down, chapter 15, verse 2. Within just a little bit, well, verse 1 said, then came the scribes and the Pharisees, that's the church mafia, the religious mafia. You know, they're still around. Which drew Jerusalem, saying, why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. They've seen all these miracles. Then they come up and say, yeah, he cusses. He does this. He does that. Why does he transgress the law? Look what Jesus said. Why do you also transgress the commandment of God by your traditions? There's people that will hold their church doctrine above the Word of God no matter what. And it doesn't care. If you point out the truth to them, they're going to hold to their doctrine. They're going to hold to what their pastor says. They're going to hold to what mama says. They're going to hold. You know, there's people going to church in dead church buildings because that's where great grandma went. That's where grandma went. That's where mama went. By God, that's where I'm going. Some of them even know the truth. I talked to a guy one time, a Baptist fella. Said he got the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I said, you know, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Why aren't you in an environment that encourages the gifts of the Holy Spirit? And he said, well, all my friends go there. Okay. Have fun with your friends. But look at that. Right after all those miracles, the church people jumped on him. Started pointing out what they saw as his flaws. Don't get discouraged. Just keep going. Go to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4, verse 14. This is a parable. Jesus gave the parable of the sower, the seeds, and all this stuff. And this points you out. You locate yourself in this verse 14. The sower sows the word. That's you. You're the sower. That's your job. That's your job. Did you know people put more emphasis on the getting people born again than they do the sowing the word part? The sowing the word part has to happen before the getting born again happens. Amen? And people get frustrated because they don't see something happening. But look at this, verse 15. This is the answer. These are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. You know, I've witnessed to people before, and it just seemed like the word that I was speaking to them was just bouncing right off their forehead. Like it was not getting anywhere. But I did my job. I sowed the word. You know, and then I witnessed to people, and it was like they just immediately received Jesus. Somebody had already been there sowing the word. Had already been in there sowing the word. They sowed the word, they sowed the word, and then pretty soon this guy ended up with enough faith to get born again. Don't worry about it if they reject it. You did your job. You sowed the word. Now maybe somebody else might come by and sow the word to him, and he'll just be like a light bulb, just say, yeah, Jesus. Go to Mark chapter 5, verse 1. And we're going to go on an adventure with Jesus here. Mark chapter 5, verse 1. They came over unto the other side of the sea, unto the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains. Because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stone. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him. Oftentimes, when you go to a new area, you run into, you know, of course, there'll be the church group that invites you there or whatever, and that's a warm welcome, and it's fun, and it's exciting. But the truth is out there, you know, you're only in here for a couple hours. Out there, that's where you're going to run into the guy that nobody could handle. That's where you're going to run into the guy that nobody wants to talk to, nobody wants to witness to, nobody wants to deal with him. Nobody even wants to go into their neighborhood and ask the church people about it. And they say, you just don't know what kind of life this guy's lived. He's a wild man. You know, some of those wild men got born again right here in this very building right over here. Don't be afraid of the people that nobody wants to talk to. God said he will never leave you nor forsake you. Amen? Now let's carry on here. He cried with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, the Son of the Most High God? I adjure you by God, for thou torment me not." For he had said unto him, "Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit." And he asked him, "What is thy name?" And he answered, saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." He besought him much that he would not send him away out of the country. Now there were nigh under the mountains a great herd of swine feeding, and all the devils besought him, saying, "Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them." And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. There were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea. They that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what it was that was done. And they came to Jesus, and they seen him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion, sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they worshiped God. They said, "Glory, hallelujah." No, they were afraid. And look what happened. They that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine, they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. He did a notable miracle. He set a man free that had been troubling the whole country. Nobody could handle him. He did a notable miracle. The guy was in his right mind. But he put this pig farmer out of business. And they said, "Go away. We don't want your kind around here." They forgot about the good thing this guy did, and they looked at the, what they seen as a mistake. They said, "Go away. We don't want you here." Well, he was coming to the ship. He had been possessed with the devil, prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit, Jesus suffered him not, but said unto him, "Go home to your friends and tell them how great things the Lord has done for you and has had compassion on you." So he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. So that was the first planting of that seed. You know, he got met with great resistance. And then he did a notable miracle. And you would think that the revival would be on. No, they said, "Man, We seen what you did to that pig farmer. We don't want you around here. So he just left. But that was the first planting of the seed. Now go to Mark chapter 7, verse 31. He sowed that seed. And he had one guy there to sow that seed. Mark chapter 7, verse 31. And again, departing from the coast of Tyre and Sidon, he came unto the Sea of Galilee through the midst of the coast of Decapolis. Sounds familiar. Coming back. And they brought unto him one that was deaf and had an impediment in his speech, and they beseeched him to put his hand upon him. And he took him aside from the multitude and put his fingers in his ears, and he spit and touched his tongue, and looking up to heaven, he sighed and said unto him, Ephphatha, that is, be open. And straightway his ears were opened, and the string of his tongue was loosed, and he spoke plain, and he charged them that they should tell no man. But the more he charged them, so much the more a great deal they published it, and were beyond measure astonished, saying, He has done all things well. He makes both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak. So there's some fruit from his last meeting. You know, they were just telling him a couple chapters ago, go away, we don't want you around here. But he came back, they brought somebody in trouble to him. Amen? We want you to come around. Now go to Mark chapter 8, verse 1. In those days, the multitude being very great and having nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples unto him, said unto them, I have compassion on the multitude, because they have now been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. And if I send them away fasting to their own houses, they will faint by the way, for divers of them come from afar. So this, you see this? They went from chasing him out of town to multitudes. The revival's on. It's on. There's multitudes there. They came from all over the place. The guy that got set free from the devil was doing his job. He was out there telling everybody about it. Now look. Verse 4 says, His disciples answered him, From whence can a man satisfy these men with bread here in the wilderness? And he asked them, How many loaves have you? And they said, 7. And he commanded the people to sit down on the ground, and he took the 7 loaves and gave thanks and broke and gave his disciples to set before them. And they did set them before the people, and they had a few small fishes, and he blessed and commanded to set them also before them. So they did eat and were filled, and they took up the broken meat that was left, 7 baskets. And they that had eaten were about 4,000, and he sent them away. That's a 100-fold return on his word right there. Started with resistance, did something good, got more resistance, left town for a little while, came back, was received with open arms, and got a lot done. Don't give up. Don't give up on your word. Don't give up on the word that you've been given to sow. But look down here at verse 11. Here comes the religious mafia again. And the Pharisees came forth and began to question with him, seeking of him a sign from heaven, tempting him. Really? Really? You just seen me feed thousands of people with a sack lunch. Now you want to see a sign? That's how foolish people are, still that foolish today. They'll hear about somebody getting prayed for in a church meeting or something. Somebody will get healed and walk away. And they'll come, show us something. Show us what you can do. Nothing's going to happen. Because they don't believe it anyway. And they're not going to receive anything that they don't believe. Don't waste your time even talking to them. The Pharisees came forth and began to question with him, seeking of him a sign from heaven, tempting him. He sighed deeply in his spirit and said, why does this generation seek after a sign? Verily I say unto you, there shall no sign be given unto this generation. Jesus is not going to waste his time on it. Don't you waste your time on it. Amen. But what happened there? Because the devil sent someone in there to sow doubt. There was a great revival going on. I mean, you got to admit, there's thousands of people at his meetings now. There's thousands. And miracles are happening. So, who did the devil send in there? Religious folks. Sometimes, I tell you what, I get cross-fitted with Bible Belt people faster than almost anything. I have not felt such doubt and unbelief in all my life as I have with Bible Belt people. But that's what they do. Something will happen good in somebody's life, and here comes the religious people sowing doubt. Sowing doubt. Well, that doesn't agree with our doctrine. That doesn't agree with what we believe. So what? Remember, the devil comes, Satan comes immediately to steal that word that was sown in their heart. This is why it's so important for people, when they get something good happen in their life, to make sure they get themselves surrounded by like-minded people, people that are going to support what just happened to them. Amen? But all too often, they'll go running back to the same old gang, and they'll sow doubt into their life, and the people steal that word. Look at verse 14. Now the disciples had forgotten to take bread, neither had they in the ship with them any more than one loaf. And he charged them, saying, take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the leaven of Herod. They reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have no bread. When Jesus knew it, he said unto them, why reason you because you have no bread? Perceive ye not, neither understand, have you your heart yet hardened? Having your eyes, you see ye not? Having ears, hear ye not? And do you not remember? When I broke the 5 loaves among the 5,000, how many baskets full of fragments did you take up? They said unto him, 12. And when the 7 among 4,000, how many baskets full of fragments took you up? They said, 7. He said unto them, how is it that you do not understand? What happened when the religious people got to him and started sowing doubt? Then they got confused. And they never like a wave in the sea. They weren't sure where they stood, one way or another. Jesus had to bring them back to reality there. Look at verse 23. He took the blind man by the hand, led him out of the town. When he spit on his eyes and put his hands upon him, excuse me, something that I got kind of a devious sense of humor, but I'll never forget the look on this guy's face one time they came, there was a prayer line, and he come up for prayer, and he said something, I can't remember if it was his ears or his eyes, and he said he needed prayer, and I said, okay, just a second. And his eyes got about that big. He said, you ain't touching me with that spit. I mean, basically, you can just see it in his face. He said, he ain't going to do that. And oh, no, never mind. If you can't have fun with the Bible, you got to get people to lighten up once in a while, man. Have a little bit of fun. The look on his face was, boy, you ain't touched me with him. He took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. When he had spit on his eyes and put his hands upon him, he asked him if he saw aught. He looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. After that, he put his hands upon his eyes and made him look up, and he was restored and saw every man clearly. He sent him away to his house, saying, neither go into the town nor tell it to anyone in town. So, what Jesus did, he brought everybody back to reality right there. You know, they had the big revival. The religious folks come in there, sowed their doubt. They got confused. He reminded them what happened with the seven loaves. You know, with feeding the 5,000 and the 4,000, having the seven baskets left over. And then right there, did another notable miracle. The guy got his sight back. Now the guys are back on reality ground again. Got their thinkers lined back out. Amen? That's why it's so important to just focus on what Jesus says. Now go to verse 27. Jesus went out and his disciples into the towns of Caesarea Philippi. And by the way, he asked his disciples, saying unto them, whom do men say that I am? They answered, John the Baptist. Some say Elias, and others one of the prophets. He said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? Peter answered and said unto him, thou art the Christ. Peter got a revelation. Peter got a revelation from God of who this guy was. Everybody has to go through this. I don't care if you're born again or not. Who do you say Jesus is? Is he just your Lord and Savior? Or is he your healer? Is he your provider? Is he your protector? Is he your king? Or is he just a lamb? See, the Jews missed out on the Lamb of God because they were focused on the king. They were waiting for him to restore the kingdom, and they missed out on the Lamb. Christians are missing out on the king because they're focused on the Lamb. Praise God for the Lamb. Understand, though, that he is resurrected and seated at the right hand of God, and so are you, and he's made you a king and a priest and given you great authority. Amen? Now, go to verse 32. He that spoke, saying openly, Peter took him and began to rebuke him. When he had turned about and looked on his disciples, he rebuked Peter, saying, get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men. Didn't Peter just have an earth-shaking revelation? Jesus asked him, who do you say that I am? Say, you are the Christ. And then he blew it. Just a few moments later. But Peter went on to do great things. Don't get discouraged if you blow it. Everybody blows it. Everybody blows it at some point. Everybody does. But don't give up. Jesus said he would never leave you nor forsake you. God has begun a good work in you, and he will continue that good work in you until the day of our Lord. Amen? Just keep going forward. Amen? Thank you, Father, for your word. We praise you in the name of Jesus for everything that you do for us on a day-to-day basis. We thank you for everything that Jesus has done for us in his death, burial, and his resurrection. We thank you for everything that he's doing for us right now as our high priest, as he continually makes intercession for us, your children. We thank you for everything that Jesus will do for us when he completes our redemption. And Father, we look forward to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. We look forward to the millennial reign. We look forward to seeing you continue what you started in the garden. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.